A man and woman were having a dinner at a very fancy restaurant, and the waiter came over to take their order. And as the waiter came over, the man sitting at the table began to slip, to slide underneath the table off his seat. And the waiter said, "Excuse me, ma'am, I think your husband just slid under the table." And she said, "Not exactly. My husband just walked in that door." Well, that lady and the woman in today's gospel have something in common. Today we have this very powerful and touching story of the woman of Samaria, the woman who had five husbands. And we take a look at this. This is in John chapter 4. And again, this is such a wonderful episode from the Lord's life. We see first his humanity, because he's sitting at the well. He's tired, he's thirsty, he's hungry. But we also will see, though, his divinity, because he can read this woman's soul. So this event occurred in the town of Samaria. And as you know, the Jews would never go through this town. The Samaritans and the Jews had been hostile towards each other for centuries. But the Lord and his disciples go to this town, and they sit by Jacob's well. And it says it was about noontime, the hottest part of the day. And so there were the disciples went off to get food because they were hungry, and the Lord was sitting there by himself. And a woman comes to draw water. Now, of course, no women would come to draw water at this time of day. It was the hottest part of the day. Normally they would go in the cool of the morning or late afternoon when the sun went down. This woman was there at this time for a reason. She was trying to avoid the other people, the other women of the village, because she, of course, was a woman of a bad reputation, having had five husbands. And the archaeologists tell her that there actually were closer, there were closer wells to where she lived than Jacob's well. They've discovered in Samaria different wells that were more in the center of town. This one was on the outskirts of the town. So she would go out there to avoid coming into contact with the other women, because she, of course, was not accepted by them because of her lifestyle and her sinful behavior in the past. And so it's 12 noon. Jesus is sitting there. He's tired. He's hungry. He's thirsty. And so he speaks up and says, "Can you give me a drink of water?" Of course, the woman is shocked, because in those days, the Jews would never talk to the Samaritans. They would certainly never use the same utensils, cups, or things like that. And so she's shocked and says, "How can you ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" And then Jesus says to her, "If you knew who was asking you, you would instead ask me, and I would give you living water." Living water, it's the Holy Spirit, it's grace, it's salvation. And Jesus says, "Whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again, but the water I give, they'll never thirst again." And she says, "Give me some of this water." See, this reminds us of the passage of St. Augustine, that you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in God. The only God can truly give us that living water, eternal life. And the woman says, "Sir, give me this water." So first she just thinks he's an ordinary man. She calls him sir. But then you'll see in a few moments her faith becomes deeper. And she says, "Give me this living water." Well, the Lord knows in order to give her this living water, she has to give up her sinfulness. She has to give up her sinful behavior. And so he says, "Okay, go ahead, go back and call your husband and come back." And the woman says something very interesting. "I do not have a husband." We call that a mental reservation. She was being evasive. And Jesus said, notice how he deals with her. He deals with her like a skilled surgeon in this dialogue, trying to get her to examine her conscience and trying to get her to remove the sinfulness in her life. Jesus says, "You are right in saying, I do not have a husband. For you have had five husbands, And the man you're living with now is not even your husband. See, in theological terms, we would call this busted, right? You ever hear that expression? Well, she was busted, okay? She tried to avoid all this, and he was able to reveal that she had sin in her life. And then, now she says, "Sir, I see you are a prophet." So she goes from calling him sir, she now calls him a prophet. And as Bishop Sheen in his wonderful commentary on this passage, in fact, if you want to read a really good chapter on this, read The Life of Christ by Archbishop Fulton Sheen, The Life of Christ. He has a whole chapter on this where he goes into detail about this dialogue between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And he says that she did what people have done for centuries when they're challenged to change a moral behavior. She changed the subject. Okay? And she began to argue theology. She said, "Yeah, you Jewish people say you have to worship in Jerusalem. We say you can worship here on Mount Gerizim." See, what she did was she took the focus off her moral issues, her moral problems, and she began to debate on theological topics. And you'll find this when you do evangelization and try to share your faith with others. You get on certain topics, moral topics, and they'll want to change the subject. And they'll say, "Oh, I don't believe in the Immaculate Conception. I don't believe in the Pope or the Hypostatic Union, or I don't believe in certain Catholic teachings." Bishop Sheen says their real reason for leaving the Catholic Church or not becoming Catholic is usually an underlying moral reason, an issue with their behavior. That's the underlying issue. The truth is usually 2 and 3 levels deeper than the theological arguments that people try to make. So the Lord then speaks to her and says that the long-awaited Messiah is now speaking with you. I am He. And of course, she gets very excited now. She leaves her water jar and runs back into town. And she tells the townspeople, "Could this man possibly be the Christ?" So she's gone from calling him sir, to calling him a prophet, now to calling him Christ. And by the end of the passage, she and the others are now proclaiming him to be the Savior of the world. See, this is such a wonderful passage because you see how the Lord deals with this woman and how He treats her with dignity, treats her with respect, and He loves her, but He doesn't keep her where she is. Does God love us as we are? Yes, of course. But He loves us so much that He doesn't want us to stay the way we are. He loves us so much that He wants us to change, to be converted, to become the saint that God wants us to be. So this is a really great episode for Lent because it's all about having a personal encounter with Christ. It's about examining our conscience and not deceiving ourselves, not being blind to our own sinfulness, but being convicted by Christ and then going to confession. You know, going to confession during the holy season of Lent, making a good confession. And after we have truly repented and made a good confession, then we have to share our faith with others, just like she shared her faith with the people in the town. So what's so beautiful about this passage, it's the transformation of a soul. And you see how the Lord, like a skilled surgeon, begins to dialogue with her to have her realize her sinfulness, her need for a Savior, and to stop deceiving herself and to get back into the grace of God and to be given this gift of living water, which is salvation, the Holy Spirit, sanctifying grace. So this is the perfect example for you, those of you who share your faith with others. We don't argue, we don't hit them over the head. Instead, we dialogue. We treat people with respect, with kindness, just as Jesus treated this woman with respect and dignity and kindness. But He challenged her, and He was so skillful in getting her to see her need for a Savior, her need to get rid of her sinful past, to turn her life around, and to accept the Lord. And so what we see here is a woman who came to the well that day at noontime in the heat of the day, trying to avoid the other people. But her dialogue with Christ transformed her, and she then began to realize her sinfulness, and she accepted Christ as her Messiah, as her Savior, and she was left a transformed soul, and she began now the path to heaven.